Welcome to the Spiritual Lifestyle Podcast, formerly known as Chapters of Motherhood. I'm your host, Veronica Moss, and I've returned with an evolved vision. I'm currently in studio passionately crafting brand new episodes set to officially debut in the spring of 2024. We now focus on promoting spiritual growth in all areas of life, including career, relationships, and mindful parenting. While you're waiting for the new season to kick off, why not revisit some of the classics? We've got your favorite episodes from Chapters of Motherhood lined up for your enjoyment. So sit back, relax, and let the Spiritual Lifestyle Podcast lead you on a journey of self-discovery and growth. Stay tuned. Welcome to your renewed spiritual sanctuary, the Spiritual Lifestyle Podcast. Chapter 24, Escaping a Traumatic Relationship and a Rocky Start to Motherhood. Welcome back to another episode of Chapters of Motherhood podcast. Joining us today is my friend Jessica to talk about her traumatic beginning to her motherhood journey. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you, Veronica.
So when I first met you, we talked a little bit about your beginning of your journey of motherhood. And it was such an interesting story that I thought, you know, this can really help out someone else that might be going through it as well. And that's why I wanted to share your story. Do you mind telling your story from the beginning?
Oh, no. So I was 17, and I remember that we lived in a house that my parents bought in Oceanside. I was, you know, at that age, I was like already hanging out with friends and, you know, going out a lot and going to house parties and stuff. And I wouldn't say I was rebellious. I think I was just very outspoken. So I would get in arguments with my mom and I would yell at her and tell her when I turn 18, like, I'm going to move out. Like, I can't wait until I turn 18. So little did I know, like, I didn't know what I was talking about. Moving out, you know, required a bunch of things that I had no clue about. So at that time, you know, things were not going so well between my parents, but I kind of was like already like doing my own thing and going out, like I said. So I really wasn't too involved as much as my sister and my brother or too exposed to it. So, you know, I was about to turn 18. And I would say like it was months before I was going to turn 18, but it was around the corner. And then I remember my mom coming up to me and telling me, you know what, your dad and I are going to get a divorce and you're about to turn 18 and you need to, you know, figure out where you're going to go because I'm going to leave. And I'm going to move out and I'm going to take your brother and sister with me. And I'm no longer going to be responsible for you because you're going to be 18 now. So that was kind of I don't know how to explain how I felt. It was very.
Was it something like scary? Was it something like you felt almost abandoned or pushed out?
Yes. Yes. Like abandoned. That's kind of what it felt like. So at that time, it was so weird because everything just aligned, like the timing, everything just aligned. And I always, when I think back, I think it's so weird how everything aligned for me. So at that time, I had a friend and she called me up and she's like, hey, you know, like I'm dating this guy. We're going to go out, but he has his cousin that wants to come along. So do you want to go on a blind date? So I was like, no, you know, I'm not into that. Like I've never done that before. I don't think I'm going to go. Like, so I was saying no. And she persisted and she's like, come on, please. Just, you know, if you don't like him, just, you don't have to keep on talking to him. Like you can just like, whatever, but just for tonight. So I said, okay, fine. I went on the blind date. And we went on a double date and I met, you know, this guy and I think he was about 6 years older than me. So I had just turned 18 and he was 6 years older than me. He really wasn't my type. And I mean, he was okay. Like, he was cute, but I was really young and I never really dated anybody. Like, I never had a boyfriend. I had encounters, you know, like where I would hang out, you know, with male friends and stuff, but I never really had like a relationship or dated. And I don't remember how everything happened so fast.
At that point, were you still living at home with mom and dad?
Yes, at that point, I was still living at home, but things were already in the process. Like, everything felt like everyone was already going their own path.
Okay.
I guess. So I guess he was really into me. You know, I agreed to a few more dates. And then, like, a few weeks into it, he asked me, like, hey, do you want to be my girlfriend? And I was like, no, you know, like, I'm not looking for a relationship right now. Like, I told him, you're really not my type. I'm sorry. You're really nice and everything. And so then we left it there. And then he said, well, can we still be friends? And I said, sure. So I would agree to, like, hang out with him and, you know, and he would take me to, like, the mall. And then after I said no, he almost took, like, a different approach to pursuing me. So then he started, you know, showering me with gifts and, like, buying me all kinds of things. And then, you know, but at this point, I'm kind of not going in order. At this point, when this was happening, my mom had not broken the news to me yet. She had not told me about her and my dad getting a divorce and how I needed to find my own way. So at this point, it wasn't happening yet. So once she told me that, then I felt like, what am I supposed to do now? I had already said to the guy, like, I'm not interested. And I felt trapped. Like, I felt like I had nowhere to go. What was I going to do? So.
And at the time, he was offering you a lot more. And
yeah, exactly. Yes. He was providing for me, you know, and like just, and I just saw him as a option, I guess. And I met with him again and I said, you know what, I've been thinking about it, so I do want to be your girlfriend. And I don't remember how long it took, but it was, like I said, it was like really fast. Everything happened so fast. And next thing I know, like, I move in with him to his house. Well, not his house, his parents' house, because he was still living with his parents. And it turned out that his father owned this flower business where he's like a flower grower and like grows flowers and he distributes to different companies and stuff like that. So, like, I was always wondering, like, where did he have all this money to, like, you know, throw like just like that, you know, and flaunt. Right. So then that turned out to be. Later on, I found out that he was using his parents' credit cards to do all that, to display that show, you know, but that's besides the point. So then he would work there, you know, with his dad, and like, I would just stay in the room. Like, I remember that I would just stay in his room. We lived in his, like I said, his parents' house, and I would just stay in the room and watch TV. And I was like 18. I didn't know anything else. Like, I just had left my parents' house and just was thrown to the world. And I was trying to figure it out. So that went on for 2 years. And then,
now, did you go anywhere outside, or like, did he want you to stay in the room, or you just wanted to stay in there?
Yeah, like, no, I just wanted to stay in there because I felt like I was trying to figure out who I was going to be now. I would stay in there because I just didn't feel comfortable coming out. Like, I didn't know, like, his mom, like, I had never met her before. Like, I would come out, you know, I would go in the kitchen to, like, fix myself something to eat. And then I would go back in the room. His sister would just, you know, look at me from the side and just, she would never talk to me, nothing. It was really, it was a really weird.
They weren't very welcoming. They weren't
no.
Come go with us to church or anything like that.
Oh, no, no, they weren't. It was a really weird environment. I don't know. And then, like in a year's time, like I lived there, I want to say like 2 years. So I would say into the first year, this little girl shows up, like they bring this child, like a 2-year-old toddler, a little girl, into the house. They just drop her off, like this old lady just drops off a child. So then it turns out that this little girl was his daughter. And I remember that I had asked him in the past, like, do you have any kids? And he said no. So that was kind of like, what, you know, what the heck? You lied, and there's, you know, this 2-year-old little girl now here, and I'm like 18. What am I supposed to do? And so he was more like his sister took over, you know, watching over the child, and the mom did too. And he was not really in the little girl's life. Like, it was,
he wasn't very involved.
He wasn't involved at all. Like, it was kind of, I don't know how to describe it. I was really young. So,
and
I didn't,
you weren't encouraged to be involved in the little girl either?
No, no, no. I mean, I would play with her. I would watch her sometimes in the room, and it was just so weird.
Okay.
And
but because he wasn't all that involved, it didn't feel right for you to get too attached.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. That is exactly how it felt. I was really young. So that's why when I try to remember of how I felt in that moment, I have difficulties like describing. So the little girl was there for about 6 months. And then next thing you know, like her mom, my boyfriend's ex, came in the house one day, broke into the house, snatched the little girl, and left with her.
Oh,
yeah. So they called the police and they said, you know, she just came in the house, took the little girl, and, you know, we want to make a report, kidnapping. And they're like, okay, well, who has custody? Oh, well, nobody has custody. Like, there's no, you know, court papers or anything. So they said, well, there's nothing we can do. That's her mother. And there's nothing we can do. And she has every right. So the little girl was, I never saw her again. So then that was something that had happened. And it just, they just moved on like nothing
they
happened.
Acted like nothing had happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so yeah. And then the relationship started getting rockier. Like then later on, I found out that he did drugs and he sold drugs and he made drugs. And I was, you know, exposed to a lot of things with him, things that I had never experimented with and, you know, didn't know any better than of the consequences of, you know, choosing to do certain things. And he was really jealous. He was very possessive. Like we would go to the mall or the store and he would catch me glancing, like he would think that I would be looking at a guy or checking a guy out. And he would like flip out in public and he wouldn't care. And he would say, well, you think he's cute? Okay. Do you want to talk to him? I'll call him over for you. Hey, hey. And he would start calling the guy over and I would just be like so embarrassed and just mortified. And I just couldn't believe that he was doing that.
Now, were you actually like looking at somebody else? Like, were you actually like trying to get someone else's attention or was that just something that he just try to make an argument with?
No, I think that he was just, I was not trying to look at anybody, or I think that he was just very insecure to the point where he just literally thought that I was trying to look at other guys, but I wasn't.
Because I've seen pictures of you when you were young, you were smoking. So I'm pretty sure that he was very possessive and very jealous. And someone so pretty, so beautiful, with a great body.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was like totally insecure, thinking like, oh, this young girl, I'm older, you know, not that much older, but you know, he's older and he's thinking this young girl can do so much better than me. So that sounds like a lot of insecurity, and he wanted to have you in some type of control to not really engage with the outside world that didn't include him.
That is exactly what it felt like. Yes. Back then I couldn't make sense of it, but now that I'm older and I'm more, you know, aware and experienced, that's exactly what it was. And it did get physical one time. I don't remember what the fight was about, and it happened at his parents' house. In the hallway. I really don't remember what it was about, but next thing you know, like, I'm on the floor and he's on top of me, choking me. And I remember being scared, like, he's not stopping, to the point where I had to pretend that I wasn't breathing. And then that's when he stopped and I got up and I just like left. And that's when I knew it was, this is not how I want to continue living my life. And I left. I don't remember how it happened. Oh, we moved to another, because his parents, they owned land and they had another nursery in a different city where they had another house. So then we moved out of his parents' house and then we moved to that house. It was, I don't want to say abandoned because it wasn't trashed, but that's where I was staying. And for the last 3 months, I was there mostly by myself. And I don't remember how it all happened. But next thing I know, I got a job at what was called back then, they don't have them around anymore, at Savon's drugstore. I got a job as a cashier there, and then I was able to rent my own room somewhere else. So then at that point, I started living on my own, and I think I might have been 19, about to be 20. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I started living on my own, renting a room, and he would still come around and look for me, and I said, no, like, I don't want nothing to do with you, like, we're done. And I remember clearly one day I was walking to the bus stop to take the bus to work, and he would drive his car along the street as I was walking, just trying to convince me to get in the car and that he would take me to work. And I would say no. So then I continued working there, and I moved in closer to my job. I rented another room with, you know, people that were renting a room. So I rented another room closer to my job where I could just walk to work without having to take the bus. So he still would be persistent and everything. And one day, I don't know why, but I just, you know, gave in and invited him over. He came over and we hung out and, you know, and then he left and he would call me. I changed my number. And I was finally feeling like I finally had gotten rid of him. And I did. I got rid of him and, you know, life went on normal for me. And I got pregnant in that moment that I was working and living near my job. When I finally said, okay, fine, you know, I'll hear you out. Let's hang out, you know. And that's the night that I believe I got pregnant. But then I didn't know I was pregnant. I left that job. I moved out from where I was staying. I moved in with my dad. You know, months passed by, a few months. And then I started experiencing like these cramps. And, you know, I thought I was going to get my period. And back then my period was really abnormal. Like it wasn't, like I wouldn't get it every month. It was just not normal. So it would be like, I would go like months without it, like up to 5 months without it, which is part of the reason why I didn't think I was pregnant, because I was used to not getting my period for months. So then I finally went to the doctor because the cramps and the pain that I was feeling was becoming unbearable. And I said, I need to go to the doctor. I went to the doctor and, you know, I explained to them what I was feeling. And then, you know, they made me pee in a cup, and then they came back and they told me, like, you're pregnant. And I was like, what? I'm pregnant? Okay. I was already like 3 months pregnant when I found out I was pregnant. And I, to be honest, I was ecstatic. I was happy because the whole time that I was living with him at his parents' house, I was in on birth control. Like for 2 years, I would not get pregnant. And I started thinking that I was never going to be able, not that I was trying to get pregnant, not that I was wanting to have a child with him, but I've always known, you know, that if you don't use condoms or if you don't use birth control, you're going to get pregnant. I know that we weren't doing none of that. So for 2 years, like I never got pregnant and I thought, you know, I'm sterile. Like I'm never going to be able to have babies. Like I'm never going to feel what it feels to be a mother. So that was when I was 18. So, you know, I kind of like had already accepted that there was a possibility that I was never going to be a mother. And so when I found out that I was pregnant after he was long gone, you know, out of the picture, like I was really happy and thankful to God, you know.
So now that you're 20, and did you even think of like calling him?
I did call him.
Okay.
Yeah, I called him and I said, you know what, I have something to tell you. And he's like, what is it? I have to go to work. I have to go get back to work. I'm like, well, you know, I'm pregnant. And he's like, what do you mean you're pregnant? I'm like, yes, I'm pregnant and it's yours. And he's like, well, that's impossible because, you know, the doctors have already told me that I'm sterile and I can't ever have kids. Well, he's like,
but he already that it had would, a little girl.
But he had already had a little girl.
Okay.
Oh, yes. So I'm just like, well, I mean, it's your baby. I haven't been with anyone else. And I know that it's you. And he's like, well, I've had my sperm tested and they've told me that, you know, it would be a miracle if I were to father a child. And I said, well, it's a miracle, you know, and that's it. And he's like, okay, I gotta go. And he hung up the phone and I just said, it's gonna be fine, you know, and it's gonna be fine. I'm gonna be fine with my baby. Like I don't need him. And that's how my journey to motherhood / single mother began. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can we go back really quick to that mm-hmm. house that was, I guess it wasn't abandoned, but it was like pretty bare, right?
Yes. And
did you spend a lot of time by yourself there as well? Did he?
It wasn't a lot of time. It wasn't a lot of time. It was like a very short-lived situation there. And he would come around. He would come after work and then we would stay there together. Like in the evening. So it's like, it was kind of like the same situation as when we were living with his parents, but just in a separate house now, away from everything. And it was like in a ranch. So it was kind of like even more
secluded.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So then when that physical incident happened, and you got away from him. Not, did you, at that moment, did you leave? Did you walk off or did you wait it out?
When he got a like physical?
Right.
Yeah. I think I waited out. Like I didn't leave. I didn't leave the house. I had nowhere to go. Like I didn't know where I would go to. It was the only home I knew at that time. So I just kind of went away from him to the other side of the house and he like went outside and I don't know.
Okay. So mm-hmm. then how soon after that incident did you leave? Did you like wait until he went to work or like how did that happen?
It's so weird because I feel like my mind blocked so many things that I don't remember like the order that things happened or how some things happened.
Right. Which is something very common that happens with, you know, trauma like that. You do, mm-hmm. your mind wants to protect you from mm-hmm. those memories.
Yeah. So I just, they kind of feel like different scenes, like one scene and then they move to the next scene. Like I kind of like have a hard time remembering how the transition was or how it happened.
Okay. But I mean, it's something you should be proud of that you were able to get yourself out of it after only 2 years, because you were in this relationship for 2 years. He started getting very jealous, very possessive. Not the whole time. It started as a progression. And then finally, when he got physical, whether you remember it or not, you made that decision of this isn't my life. I got to go.
Yeah.
And that's something that's to be proud of, because a lot of women will not leave because that's all the life that they know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I am proud. I'm proud of how I was able to eventually get out of that and just grow from it and become the person that I've become. And I'm grateful for my son. He wasn't planned, but he was desired.
Okay. So he wasn't planned, but he was God sent.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so which is why I named him.
Oh, what did you name him?
Jonathan Angel. Jonathan means God's gift.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's a good name.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you're a single mom, 20 years old, with your new baby. And I'm pretty sure still looking hot. I'm pretty sure still trying to get the guys to, like, you know, stay away. I'm a mom now. So how did this transition happen?
Well, at that point, you know, obviously my mom found out that I was pregnant and she took me in during my pregnancy. She took me in. My mom really, you know, stepped up and helped me a lot. I remember she worked two jobs to pay all the bills and pay everything in the house because I didn't work while I was pregnant. I was at home. So that's where I experienced my pregnancy. My mom helped me. She's the one that...
So they were very accepting of you and they were very supportive.
Yeah, she was supportive and accepting of the situation and... Yeah, she helped me and she was there. She was there when I started having contractions. She drove me to the hospital and then I had my baby. I came back home. I didn't work. I don't remember for how long I didn't work, but I do remember eventually I did go back to work and he was still small. I think that he must have been like 2 to 3 months old when I finally went back to work. And I stayed there almost a year. And then things started getting rocky again between my mother and I. And, you know, we got in an argument and it didn't work out. So
did you maybe move out?
I don't think I moved out. I think that we moved to a different apartment within the same complex. And then I remember working graveyard shifts where I was really tired and I would have my son in daycare during the day while I would go home and go to sleep during the day and then I would go to work at night. So I remember being really exhausted. Oh, and then, yes, after that, I ended up moving in with my dad. And we lived there. It was my dad, my brother, and I. We were living there. And that's when everything changed, because that's when my brother started showing signs of schizophrenia. And there's so much. But yeah, I was single for about 3 years. And then I met my husband now, who I'm married to for 15 years now. And there's so many details.
Were you afraid because of the relationship? I mean, that was your first boyfriend. So because of that relationship, were you hesitant or afraid to start anything new with someone else?
I wasn't afraid and I wasn't hesitant. It was the opposite. I yearned for that picture perfect, you know, family. Like I wanted to be married. I wanted a father figure for my son. So it was kind of like the opposite of that. Although I wasn't actively looking for someone, or even trying to like initiate anything because I was too busy trying to provide for my son, working and providing and making ends meet and stuff, just raising him. It wasn't my focus or priority, but it was something that I was yearning for, like something that I wanted to form for my life and my son's life.
Okay. And when you met your husband, he was very accepting of your son?
Well, I wouldn't say very accepting, but he was accepting of the idea that I had a child. When I met my husband, he was still, you know, we were young. Like, I think I was, 24 when I met him. So there was still a lot of growing up to do on both ends, especially on his. Mm-hmm. So he had no experience with children. And, you know, he was kind of like, I would sense a little like, I don't want to say jealous, but like, you know, the attention. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe it, but it was a little hard for him in the beginning.
Okay. Yeah. Which, I mean, it's understandable a lot of the times, especially if you're a guy and you're used to receiving all the attention from the girl, and now the girl needs to give the attention to her child. It's understandable where they would be like, I don't get it, especially if they don't have any children. But once you have your own child, it's like, okay, I get it.
You get it. Yes, exactly. Yeah, there's so many other things that have occurred before and in between, but it's kind of hard for me like to organize my thoughts because, like you said, it was traumatic with how it began with me.
And then, so you went on to have how many more kids?
I now have 4 total. My son, Jonathan, he's 17. He's going to be turning 18 in a few weeks. He's going to be going to college now. He's already received his first acceptance letter.
Oh, congratulations. Exciting.
I'm excited for him. And he's trying to buy his first car. Mm-hmm. And he's really smart. And then I have my 12-year-old daughter, Giselle, and my 9-year-old daughter, Janessa, and my 5-year-old, Juliana.
And they're all little feisty girls.
Yes, they're feisty girls. They are. I mean, I think that's a good thing. I don't know.
Yeah. You get that from their mom. Like, they need to be feisty and know how to stand up for themselves. For sure.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
Right. But is there anything else that you would want to say? Because, I mean, your story is encouraging that if you start out in a bad relationship, there's the next relationship is going to be good. It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to, you know, evolve, and you're carrying your baggages that you need to let go of just as much as he does. Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk a little bit about how that looks now in comparison to what you came from? You know what I mean? It's like, it's encouraging because there's a light at that end of that tunnel.
Oh yeah. So there was a lot, like, in between my husband and I, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it was really hard because when I met him, I already knew what I wanted for my life. Like, I had already gone through, I don't know, like, I think I had gone through a lot already at a very young age. So I feel like I had to, like, mature, you know, a little faster, I guess.
Than what you expected.
Huh?
You had to grow up a lot faster than you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. I grew up much faster than what I thought. But my husband, when I met him, he was not ready for the level of relationship that I was looking for. Being, you know, that I had already gone through what I've gone through, being that I was already, you know, a mother and had the responsibility of living on my own at a very young age and very suddenly. So when I met him, he had gone through a lot already too, but he was still living with his parents. So it was kind of like, this is what I want. If you're not ready, then, you know, we need to like move on and not continue this because these are the things that I want, and these are the things that that I want for my son and for myself. And if, like I said, like, if you're not ready, then we need to like just stop it here. He had a drinking problem, a bad one, but not anymore. So I let him go, and, you know, I broke up with him, and he would call me every night, like, I'm sorry, you know, just give me one more chance, and, you know, just meet with me one more time, and if after you meet with me, you still don't want to continue with me or continue to give me a chance, then I will just let you be. So at this point, we had already been together like about a year. So I decided to meet with him, and he told me the place. It was a Italian restaurant in Encinitas. So then I met up with him, and he just proposed. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
I was kind of surprised, and it wasn't what I was expecting, because I had already, you know, took in a whole year of like trying to explain what I was looking for. And when I finally said, it's not what you're looking for, let's part ways, he kind of like, you know, I don't know, snapped out of it.
Zero to 100. It's like, okay, I'm in 100.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it's the difference between then and now is just like night and day. And all I have to say is it has required a lot of patience on my behalf to get to the point that I am now as a wife. And even though, like you say, things aren't perfect, I am grateful, and I feel like everything that I've gone through for me would be such a waste of my time, my energy, my sweat, and my tears to just let it all go. You know, so like I've been with him for 15 years and counting, and it's just not easy to just let something that you've built for 15 years just go. And we have come to the point where we both know that there's no turning back from here. It's just, you know, we have our children, we have built a beautiful home, and we've done a really good job, you know, because he has a rough upbringing too, and he has a story as well. And I think that as a couple and as a married couple, like, we have built something pretty amazing, you know, considering our background and what we've been through and what I've been through and what he's been through. And I mean, we're both hotheads, so there's
So you both got to learn how to communicate with each other. It's like you give just as much as you receive.
Yes. Well, I mean, he's a Leo and I'm an Aries. So okay. I'm fire, and he's fire too. So it's kind of like, you know, when it's good and passionate and just like we're best friends and everything. But when it's like bad, it's like, oh, like an explosion. But but overall, it's just, you know, we get along very well. Like, we joke around, we laugh at each other, we make fun of each other. And I don't think that my experience with my first relationship affected the way, or maybe it did. It just, I don't think it affected the way I experience relationships in a negative way. I don't know if that makes sense.
Would it be like you do not allow that experience to affect it negatively?
Exactly.
You don't allow it to shut you down.
Yes. It's more of my experience made me more driven to have a better relationship and build something better with someone else, something more real, something that was, I don't know how to put my thoughts now.
You got it. You said it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's a very positive and beautiful way to come out of it, because, you know, because I'm seeing it like you were in a darkness, and you're not allowing that to, you're not allowing that darkness to swallow you. You're wanting to come out of it, and you're out in the sun, and you want to be passionate, and you want to provide. You want to go after that life that you deserve, and you're not going to take less.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Veronica.
I see it. I get it.
You're so good with your words. Thank you. Exactly it. That's exactly it.
Well, Jessica, like I said, when you first told me the story, I thought this is a very empowering story. This is something that needs to be heard because women do go through it. And I know that it's something scary to talk about because you want to bury that into your past and you don't want to talk about it and you do want to keep protecting yourself. But it is important to get it all out and leave it out there, you know?
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll reach somebody that would say, you know what, you're right. I don't want to stay in this darkness. I do deserve to live the life that I want. And I'm going to walk out the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's my story.
Okay, well, thank you so much for making the time. I know it was difficult for you to make the time for me,
and I know.
I do appreciate it. Where can my listeners follow you?
So I have my Instagram is Jessie, Jessie_Jess, Jess_, and that's my Instagram page.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And that's your personal Instagram where we can follow along with your beautiful family and your husband. And you can check out just how pretty she is. She really is.
Thank you.
Okay, and I'll definitely link it all together at the show notes.
All right. Thank you for having me.